I also forgot to add that besides providing the word of God to continue to fuel a revival here in China is prayer. So, you know, we really, really appreciate prayer. Prayers from all of you. I was told by my Chinese pastors' friends in different parts of China, they say the church in China is still growing, but the rate of growth has slowed. So I think we need more prayers, more support from our fellow brothers and sisters. I also forgot to mention that Daniel is my colleague from the United Bible Society, and his main role is the liaison with the Christian expatriate Christians in China, hoping to raise more prayers and support for the Bible in China. So the money you have given, what we'll do is that we will then use it to print more Bibles and to give it out to those who really need them. Thank you very much. Shall we pray? Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Next slide, please. One of my favorite verses in the Psalms is Psalms 119, verse 8. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous truth. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law, which is the Word of God. Someone compares the Word of God to a diamond. Because as you behold a beautiful diamond, it will sparkle. My wife complains that I have not bought her a single cabinet of diamond. I told her, I'll get it for you in heaven. She said in heaven, she doesn't need me to get her diamonds. There'll be lots of diamonds in heaven. But I was privileged to accompany some of my friends when they were visiting Israel and South Africa, some of the diamond factories, and some are really beautiful, they really sparkle, and looking from different angles. As it is with diamond physically, it is even more so the Word of God. The Word of God is so wonderful that if you will be able to behold wondrous thing out of the Word of God, I'm not sure whether you have the same experiences as I do, even reading the same passage in different seasons of my life, God revealed different things out of His law, out of His Word. So this morning, I would like to reflect on three themes for us to think about here, and they are this. We tend to underestimate the power of the Word of God. We tend to overlook our need for the Word of God. And we tend to neglect the guidance of the Word of God. First, we tend to underestimate the power of the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, we read that we've been born again through living and abiding Word of God. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. As we reflect on our respective journey of faith, I believe that along our journey of faith, the Word of God plays a very important part of your life. Because according to scriptures, we have been born again through the living and abiding Word of God. It's because of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to usher us into His kingdom, to make us His sons and His daughters, more than we realize. For me, I grew up in a non-Christian family. My parents migrated from China, southern part of China, to Singapore. I grew up joining them in worshipping all kinds of gods and ancestors. Until I was 10, the only Christian in the neighborhood family, I used to play football and games with them. They invited me to a Christmas party, Sunday school Christmas party. And I fell in love with the Sunday school. Because at the end of the Christmas party, they give out gifts. And Santa Claus came. And for the first time in my life, I got a Christmas gift. But the church was very good in marketing. What they did was this, they give better and nicer gift to the regular Sunday school students. children. Toy cars, toy dolls. And for us as visitors, guests, we can pencil their eraser. I'm an accountant by profession. At that age of 10, I was making my calculation. Why don't I join the Sunday school every week and receive a better gift at the end of the year? And I did it for 5 years. But the Bible stories, you know, impacted me. So when I was about 15, I was thinking about seriously about meaning of life, what happened to my grandmother was staying with us and looking after us, and she passed away. Someone gave me good news for modern men. I'm not sure whether you remember that, but New Testament good news for modern men, published by the American Bible Society in the 70s, they were very popular. Easy to read. And I read through the four Gospels, and I was confronted by the Lord Jesus. I remember one night kneeling beside my bed and saying, God, I'm not sure whether you exist, whether you are there, and if you are, I want to believe in you. And that marked the turning point of my life. And I believe many of you could testify to how the Word of God has shaped and impacted you. Next two slides, please. Skip this. Thank you. How many of you went to World Expo, yeah? In Shanghai? I think 2010? Yeah. Anybody know this? Which pavilion is this?
British, huh? No?
The British pavilion. My favorite. In, like a dandelion. And I thought, what a powerful metaphor, image of what we are to be. To spread the seed, the Word of God, far and wide. And I remember taking a photo to remind me of our mission to spread the Word of God, the seed that God is going to plant into the hearts and minds and souls of the people who are going to read the Bible, read the Word of God, and be birthed into the kingdom. So don't underestimate the power of the Word of God. Share it widely. Share it liberally. Give a copy of a gospel booklet to be published, millions of them for the church in China. Give it to your friends, family members, classmates, colleagues who have not known Christ yet. Or give a Bible, a copy of the Bible, or a copy of the New Testament. I was just chatting with Wang Ping, who used to be a pastor here, and he was sharing his testimony on how he... sharing one thing, and he was sharing how the Lord used a study Bible in his college year or university years to draw him into God's family. A reminder again, afresh, of the power of the Word of God. Next. We tend to overlook our need for the Word of God. In 1 Peter 2:2, we read that newborn babe, infants long for the pure spiritual milk that by it we may grow up to salvation. The Bible is the pure spiritual milk. Like infants who need milk in order to grow, in fact, in order to survive, so must we as Christians. We need the spiritual milk to live and to grow. Next, the words of Jesus quoting from Deuteronomy in response to the temptation of the evil one. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Bible is our spiritual food. Spiritual meal, spiritual food. Our bread, our manna. When we feel hungry, we look for food. The problem is this, we are all spiritually hungry. But unlike physical hunger, most of us do not realize how spiritually needy and starved we are. And that's the problem. I used to think, if only God make us as acutely aware of our spiritual hunger as we do of our physical hunger, many more of us will read the Bible more regularly. Next. Hebrews 5 tells us that solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The Bible is not only the spiritual milk, spiritual food, but spiritual solid food. The challenge for us as Christians is to go beyond basic knowledge of the Bible. We need to grow in a deeper understanding of the Word of God. Dive into the depth of the Word of God. In a sense, the Word of God, there are lots of gems, precious stones in the Word. Now, some of the precious stones, many of the precious stones and gems are on the surface, so to speak. But there are also precious stones underground. For that, you need to dig. It's hard work, but it's rewarding. We need to go beyond reading the Bible to studying the Bible. And for some, we consider theological studies. We overlook our need for the Word of God. I, some of my friends grew up in families, Christian families, that require them to memorize or recite a verse before they eat. I thought it was pretty good practice. Yeah. Although I was telling my friend, I think I was starved to death. Because I was struggling to memorize scripture verses. My bishop in Singapore, Bishop Venice, grew up in such a family. And today, whenever he writes emails or he sends WhatsApp, very often he will hang out with a verse. Because he has been so saturated with the Word of God. It becomes part of him. I'm going to show next few slides of some an analogy, imagery, which I hope will help you, has often helped me whenever I look at the Bible. Next. Some describe the Bible as love letters from God. What do you do when you receive a letter? You open it up and try to read. Don't you? Especially if the letter comes from your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband or wife, and someone you love. But how many of us want to open the Bible as letters from God? If only we can see the Bible as they are letters from God. In fact, next, I know of some Christians who will always have the Bible open up in their home to remind them, read me. Of course, letters less and less common these days. So next, maybe a better analogy is a mobile phone. Yeah. Think of the Bible as a phone. God ringing. You want to speak to us every morning, every evening, every day. In fact, the Thailand Bible Society did a promotion and they put a mobile phone on the cover of the Bible to remind Christians that God is calling. Pick up the phone. Next. Of course, these days, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, WeChat. God is WeChatting us. Please, read what He's trying to tell us for today, for this year, for our future. Next. We tend to also neglect the guidance of the Word of God. Psalms 109, verse 103. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Of course, these days we don't experience darkness as during the time of our Lord Jesus or during the Old Testament time. But I can recall experiences of during my military training, going to the jungle and abject darkness, or visiting this Miri cave, Miri in Sarawak. In those situations, you will really feel the utter desperate need of a light. Because everything is dark. You don't realize it, but you do live in a world of darkness, moral darkness, spiritual darkness. You need the light. You need the Word of God. Next. John 20 verse 1 to 4 talks about how the sheep knows the shepherd's voice because their ears have been tuned to the shepherd's voice. Before I became a father, I'm always amazed at how parents, in particular mothers, can hear the baby crying, although the baby may be in the next room or in the bedroom. Because parents, particularly mothers, have tuned their ears to the cries of babies. Similarly, we must tune our ears to God's voice. Again, I'm going to show you some analogy, which I hope will be helpful to you, as it has been to me, as we think about this whole area of guidance in the world that we live in. Next. The Word of God is our map and our compass to navigate this world of complexity and distraction. Without the Word of God, we will lose our way. Because this is ancient. Next. Now we have GPS. The Word of God is our GPS to lead us and guide us through this life. Another analogy, of course, from the ancient world of the past. Next is the Word of God is our lighthouse to prevent us from suffering shipwreck in our life. The world around us is a treacherous water, and we need the Word of God to help us through. Modern world, next. Control tower. To guide our flights of life to our destination. Our final destination in heaven. Our final destiny in heaven. This is the control tower that will help us. Next. So we tend to underestimate the power of the Word of God. We tend to overlook our need for the Word of God. We tend to neglect the guidance of the Word of God. Let me share some brief exhortation as we begin to close. Therefore, we need to read the Scripture. We need to read the Word of God daily, regularly. There are many, many helps for us. We are blessed with them. Daily devotional materials like our daily bread. Now we have Scriptures coming to us through emails, Twitters, WhatsApp, WeChat, Facebook, our digital Bible, UBS, I can't recall, tens and 20, and 10, and 100 over millions of people have signed up for our Facebook. Bible app, family devotion. You know, like the doctor's advice, 150 minutes of exercise a week. So I told my doctor, it's tough, especially when I'm traveling. His reply to me is this, doesn't matter, do what you can. Even a minute is good for your heart. So if you are those who struggle to read the Bible every day, don't worry, read whenever you can. Even one verse is good enough to keep us going. Next. Back to the slide. Another challenge is read through the Bible. When I went for theological studies, our professor asked our class, 15, how many of you have read through the Bible at least once? I was surprised. Even theological students, many have not. May I urge you to make it your goal if you have not read through the Bible at least once? And let me show you a quick story here. Next. Some years ago, I visited Wenzhou, the church in Wenzhou, and I came across class, a Bible literacy class. Most of them elderly senior citizens learning to read the Bible. Learn to read Chinese to read the Bible. Many of them are not literate. So I whispered to the pastor who was bringing me around, not in their hearing. I said, why does she bother to learn the Chinese language? Now I'm a Chinese, but I'm not conversant in Chinese when I first began ministry in China. I was schooled in English. So I know how difficult it is to learn the Chinese language, and you guys know, I'm sure, the challenge of learning the Chinese language. So I was thinking, telling the pastor, I mean, she's possibly in her 80s. she will meet the Lord soon. It doesn't need to learn Chinese. But what the pastor said to me was a rebuke to me. He said, it's precisely because they knew, she knew she was going to meet the Lord, she wanted to make sure that she, when she has the Bible in this side of heaven, she wanted to learn to read it so that she would not stand ashamed before the Lord. That she had the Bible and she did not try to read it. That was a real rebuke. But I was so challenged that when I went back to Singapore and I was teaching Bible classes in my church, I challenged all of them, please read the Bible at least once, because when you, one day when you get to heaven, you will meet Moses. He's going to ask you, have you read my Leviticus? Or Nahum? Obadiah? Habakkuk? Read at least once. So when you see them in heaven, you say, I tried. I didn't understand everything, but I tried. May I challenge you? Read the Bible at least once. Next. Study the Bible. You know, you have, again, precepts, BSF. ESV Study Bible. That's the one that we've come here to launch. Sign up on Bible courses and theological studies. Final slides. When I was growing up as a young Christian, my pastor taught me this. He said, in this life, in this world, there are two things that will last for eternity. The souls, man, woman, and child. And the Word of God. The Word of God will last for eternity. Everything that we see here will not last for eternity, except the soul of every human person. And the Word of God. Grass withers, flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I used to teach Greek in seminaries, and the Greek word for will never pass away is too negative, oumen. Literally, if Jesus said, my words will not pass away. In Greek, with a double negative, is emphatic. In a sense, Jesus is saying that my words will absolutely never, ever pass away. Treasure the Word of God. Cherish it. Read it. Study it. And grow on it.